There is something wrong with our world, isn't there? When people jump on boats and flee to another country, flee away from their home, run from danger and run to an unknown land, and then they're turned away, there's something wrong with our world. They're turned away just in case they're not really asylum seekers, just in case we run out of resources for ourselves, just in case we lose our culture and lose our way of life. There's something wrong with the world. That's not what we call justice, right? There's something wrong with the world when people with money will hire boats and sail to Australia, jump queues in front of people who can't afford it, who really do need it, who can't afford to pay people smugglers. There's something wrong with the world when those people do get into Australia, who jump the queue and get in front of the needy. But they're let in because there's protesters saying to let them in. They get in because they refuse to eat until they're let into the country. There's something wrong with the world. That's not mercy. It's not justice. This is an extract of an article on the Australian Parliament site that talks about people arriving on boats. I won't read the whole thing because it's long. Opinion poll data shows that boat arrivals have always been an issue of concern for Australian public, and opposition to boat arrivals has increased steadily over the last four decades. While the first wave of boat people, 1976 to 81, which is where our parents fit in actually, was initially received by the Australian public with sympathy, continuing arrivals quickly became a matter of increasing concern. Public discussion soon focused on issues such as rising unemployment and the impact of people jumping the immigration queue. Boat arrivals were a dominant topic in the news at the time. It goes on. So people are generally not too happy with boat people because there's something wrong. There's something wrong with the whole situation. But what is it? Like, both sides of the argument seem kind of legitimate. Yes, we shouldn't let everyone in because there might not be enough resources. Maybe not everyone's a true asylum seeker. And yes, we shouldn't not let people in because they might truly be in need. Like, how do we filter it out? Neither point of view is quite settling. You can't keep people out just in case, and you can't let people in just because. So today, what does the Bible have to say about it? With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So the way the Bible tackles this issue of asylum seekers, I think it points out this unsettledness with the two points of view. It's not justice to keep them out at all costs, and it's not mercy to let everyone in just because they want to come in. When we see the needy turned away because we're fearful in the name of justice, we turn the needy away, or when we let those who aren't in need in the name of mercy, it doesn't sit right. Even if you don't really care, like, to be honest, I'm like really unpolitical and I haven't thought much about politics or asylum seekers before I did this, preparing for this talk. I think that's probably like a lot of you as well. Like, we know there's like some sort of asylum seeker issue, but it's like, well, it doesn't really affect us. But even though we're kind of coming from that angle, when it comes up in the media and when they talk about asylum seekers and when they talk about people drowning in the ocean trying to get to Australia, or they talk about people protesting in detention centres, you still have this kind of gut reaction to it. Like, something wells up inside when the media says, no, we have to keep everyone out. Like, can't let these boat people in. They'll destroy our society. You have a gut reaction. Something wells up. You know it's not right. You kind of can't put your finger on it. You know it's not quite meant to be like that. But you kind of don't care, but you care. You don't care, like, really. But when it comes up in the news, like, you care. Like, you get a reaction in your stomach. I've had the reaction, and, like, I don't care. But I still had that reaction, right? So, like, what is it? There's something inside of us, something at a deep level, that when we see only justice, like keeping both people out, or only mercy, let's let everyone in, when we see only justice or only mercy, there's something that isn't satisfied within us. And that's kind of what this passage deals with, especially verse 8. In this world, we kind of can't get both, right? It's like you have justice or you have mercy. It's like they're at two opposite ends of a spectrum or two sides of a coin, something like that. We aren't happy when it's just justice. We aren't happy when it's just mercy. So if we have a look at verse 8, we see a third way. It's not just justice and it's not just mercy, but it's God's way. It's a third way. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So God's way is a way of justice and mercy. Somehow he gets the two to work together. Any ideas about who the first asylum seekers were? First asylum seekers in the world. They're in the Bible. Guesses. In the Bible early on. What? Oh, Israel? Yeah, Israel. Before Israel. Abraham? Before Abraham? There's not much more before Abraham. Guesses. First asylum seeker. Adam and Eve, the very first people in the world, were asylum seekers, right? So let's read through. This is Genesis 3, so God's created man, man sinned. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And then God hands out curses, curses the man, curses the woman, curses the serpent. Then he says, "The Lord God came and made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, 'The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and also take from the tree of life and eat it and live forever.' So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. He drove the man out and he placed on the east side of the garden a cherubim with a flaming sword." So Adam and Eve, right? First asylum seekers driven out of their home by who? Driven out of their home by who? By God. They're fleeing from God. They're fleeing from God's justice, God's punishment for their sins, right? So you can see that God deals justly with them, but where's his mercy? I told you there's mercy, but where is it? If we look closely, verse 21, "Then the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them." You see up a little bit in verse 10, Adam and Eve were naked, right? They were fine before, but they sinned, and now their shame has revealed nakedness. And God doesn't just punish their sins, he covers their shame as well. So it's not like God is not all justice like the world. It's not like you sinned, you ate that fruit, told you not to, gave you one rule, don't eat the fruit, you ate it, later, sit on. He's not like that at all. He doesn't only have justice. And he doesn't only have mercy. It's not like, first sin, I gave you one rule, but like first sin, it's all right. Like next time I'll punish you, this time it's okay. First sin. So he's not all mercy, right? If God was all justice or all mercy, he'd be a mockery, right? You couldn't follow that God. If he was all justice, he'd be a tyrant. If he was all mercy, he'd be a pushover. But God is both, right? He punishes the sin, and he covers up the shame. That's the very nature of God. He has to be both. He's both in everything. He's both just and merciful. So that's how God deals with asylum seekers. But in Micah's not just a formula for how we should deal with asylum seekers. So it's not just that, all right, justice and mercy, that's how we deal with asylum seekers, done. If we read the rest of the passage carefully, we see the Israelites in the first part of the passage. "With what shall I," so the Israelites, "come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" So the Israelites, and this is kind of coming from Adam and Eve, right? Sin of Adam and Eve. They're trying to get back into a good relationship with God. It seems like they've got the right heart. They're coming down, they're bowing down before God. They're trying to exalt God. They want to come before him in the right way. But they're kind of missing the point. In the Old Testament, there are tons of offerings, right? And often with these offerings, some of them you'd have, you know, one ram, and some of them you'd have some oil and you'd burn it to God. Tons of offerings. So these Israelites, they really want to come back to God, right? They come and they say, let's bring 1,000 rams. Like, really want to make this up to God. Let's bring 10,000 rivers of oil. I really want this to be right with God. But they've come to him the wrong way. Like, he doesn't just desire a ram. Like, what's God really going to do with a ram? He doesn't desire a ram. He desires, in verse 8, justice and mercy. So, he has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So the Israelites of the day kind of missed the point. They wanted to come back to God and they thought that if they do these things, if they burn these rams and this oil, they'll come back to God. If they burn 1,000 rams, 10,000 rivers of oil, they'll come back to God and they'll be good. But they missed the point. And I think we can also miss the point in this asylum seeker issue as well. So I think we have to be careful when we say justice and mercy. It's not just an action. There's more behind it. There's a heart behind it. So we're not really in danger of making the mistake that I'll bring, you know, my ram and my oil will bring me good with God. Like, I've never seen a ram in my life, I don't think. There's lots of sins in my life, but the sin of thinking the ram will make me good with God isn't one of my sins. It's pretty safe that it's not one of my sins. Like modern day rams, right? We can kind of have modern day rams. We might think that turning up to church every week will please God. So if we come and we're really good at church, we listen in the sermon, we help out in Sunday school, help out in youth, that'll please God, that'll get me closer. And then if I throw on top of that my offerings, and if I tithe 10% or even more, that gets me a little bit closer to God. If I look after the homeless and the needy, a bit closer to God again. If I look after my elderly parents and pay respect to all the elders in the church, surely God is happy now. Like, I reckon that he's got to be pretty happy. And then if I every now and then do a sermon at church, guaranteed he is happy with me, right? That's possibly the mistake we'll make. But I think we're kind of taught well enough in this church that we won't mistake good works for getting us in right with God. So what is the danger for us? I think the danger for us is if we read to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. I think if we read that the wrong way, if we turn that into a rote act of worship rather than a way of living, I think that's our danger. I think that when we come to issues like asylum seekers, we're really keen to do what's right. We want to know what's right. We want to hear what God says on all sorts of topics. But there's a fine line, I guess, between right actions with the right heart and then just the right actions. And I think that's where we have to be really careful with our actions. I don't think that God really has any need of our justice and our mercy. What we hear over and over again is every Sunday is a good reminder of that sort of stuff. He has showed you what he wants. Verse 8. He showed the Israelites of the time what he wanted. His great actions, his great miracles, saving them from Egypt, parting of the Red Sea, all these miracles, he's shown what is good and what is merciful. And to us today, he's shown even more clearly what is just and what is mercy. He's shown that in the cross of Jesus, perfect justice and perfect mercy. We'll read Romans chapter 3. But now, apart from the law, God's righteousness has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets. That is, God's righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Since there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, presented him as a propitiation through faith in his blood to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his restraint, God passed over the sins previously committed. God presented him to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be righteous and declare righteous the one who has faith in Jesus. In the past, we've seen glimpses of justice and mercy. See, throughout the Old Testament, in Adam and Eve, we see God's justice. He punishes their sin and God's mercy covers their shame. But today, we see perfectly clearly that all justice and all mercy is seen in Jesus. We can look back and we can see that now that they couldn't see then. Jesus is ultimate justice and ultimate mercy. In Jesus, all sin is punished and in Jesus all shame is covered up. There's no need for any extra. His one action on the cross, dying for our sins and raising from the dead, is ultimate justice, ultimate mercy. And God is satisfied. He doesn't need any more than that. So that was kind of a big detour from the whole asylum seeker issue. God deals with it with justice and mercy, Jesus' ultimate justice and mercy. That was a big detour, but kind of important before we come back to kind of try and resolve this issue. So God deals with it with justice and mercy, deals with asylum seekers with justice and mercy, and done, right? So go out, do justice and mercy with asylum seekers. Doesn't kind of work like that. Yes, the ultimate answer is Jesus and justice and mercy in Jesus. But practically, day to day, what does that look like? Like, what does it look like when, on the news again, there are more asylum seekers on the boat sinking in the middle of the ocean? Like, what do we do? What do we do when we come to vote and we have to elect the next government who have certain policies and they're changing those policies? And what do we do on a bigger scale? Like, how do we deal with the issue of war and of famine and of poverty and of injustice and inequality? What do we do on a smaller scale in our lives when we're wronged and we have to try and forgive, when we argue with someone that we love and it hurts, when our dreams are shattered or when our hearts are broken, right? What does justice and mercy look like in our lives, in those sort of real moments of our lives when we have to make decisions? I guess there's kind of two answers, right? Two answers. What do we do? First answer is kind of up to you, really. You kind of know justice and mercy. You know Jesus and you know his cross. But when it comes to those points in your life, like, you really have to make the decision. But there's no way that I could tell you, no way that anyone could tell you what to do. I don't really know what to do. You have to come to those things and you have to deal with it yourself. So that's kind of the first answer. I don't really know what to do. The second answer is hopefully a bit more satisfying. Second answer is, it almost doesn't matter. I want to say it doesn't matter, but like, it almost doesn't matter. And why doesn't it matter? Verse 8. I guess if you have a look at verse 8 a little bit closely, he's shown us what is good, right? And he doesn't need us to do any good because Jesus has ultimately done all the good. In one act on the cross, Jesus has, as I said before, paid for all sin and he has covered all shame. Punishment for all sin, covered all our shame in one act, right? So in many, many ways, our actions to asylum seekers and things like that almost doesn't matter. Jesus has freed us from justice and mercy, the justice and mercy of the law, to do justice and mercy, if that makes sense. Before, when we were under the law, or the Old Testament law, we were bound to do justice and mercy by the law. All those laws were just justice and mercy putting down in a written form. But now Jesus has fulfilled justice and mercy perfectly. There is no need for any further justice. There is no need for any further mercy. If Jesus' work on the cross was like fully done properly, there is no need for further justice and further mercy. But he has set us free from that justice and mercy to do justice and mercy. So if we look at verse 8 in Micah, he has shown you, O man, what is good. That's talking about other things, but applying it to us, he's shown us what is good in Jesus. Perfect. And now what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy. And those things, that is walking humbly with God. So I guess to try and sum up what I'm saying, the next government policy that comes out on asylum seekers, whatever it is, it's probably not going to be much better than the previous one. And if we vote for another government when the next election comes around, their policies will probably be as bad as these policies. We're never going to be satisfied with how the world handles justice and mercy, because the world can't handle justice and mercy. It can give us justice or it can give us mercy, but it can't do both in the way that God does. It can't do it. It's out of its control. But justice and mercy is part of God's nature. It's in the very nature of God to be just and to be merciful. So in Jesus, he's covered up all sins and he's punished all sins as well. So when we come to live our lives and to try and figure out what to do day to day, particularly regarding asylum seekers, first thing, you don't have to worry too much because Every just thing and every merciful thing has been done on the cross. One action done perfectly. It's all taken care of. Everything. So when you go about making your decisions, I think you just need to get your heart right. If you are walking humbly with God, if you're seeking to walk humbly with God, and you're trying to act justly and mercifully, then you kind of can't go wrong. You're kind of in a win-win. Jesus has done everything perfectly, and any justice and any mercy you do, as long as it's with the right heart, is acceptable to God. Because justice and mercy has been done once, and it's done perfectly in the cross, and that's satisfying to God. I hope that's somewhat useful for your thinking about asylum seekers. Like, it's not really a clear answer, but hopefully useful in your thinking about asylum seekers and all sorts of issues in your life.